Football Fix with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Your exclusive home of the Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Arizona Sports brings you exclusive coverage of the team's minicamp.
Mandatory minicamp with Doug and Wolf.
Presented by Courtesy Chevrolet.
We all know actions speak louder than words.
Yes.
But a lot of great words have come out of this studio today. I mean, when you listen to the things that were said today, the encouragement that I think all of us got, if you listen to Derek Coleman, if you missed it, go to arizonasports.com after the show and make sure you listen to his inspiring story. And then if you heard Chad Williams step up and say, I know what I've got to do and everything has slowed down now, he said everything you want to hear. Yes, go do it is a response. Yeah. That's a natural response, and you should have that response.
And speaking of,
and then Robert Kimdichie said everything you want to hear of accepting the fact that he did not get it done. And the motivation now is he realizes he's average. Everything he's put forth has been average, but he said he's got things organized in his life better. He realizes he doesn't put the effort into it like the Fitzgeralds of the world, that the Frosty Ruckers did, that he saw, and he's watching guys and the things that they do and what it takes to be a Chandler Jones. And now he realizes what he needs to do. This was a great day, if you believe the words. Now, if they flip this into action... Yeah. Maybe the Cardinals are not a 7-9, 6-10 team that a lot of people have thought across the country.
The thing I continue to focus on was just Robert Kimdichie talking about Steve Wilks and the impact of Steve Wilks, and Steve Wilks saying, you've got to make that transition to Robert Kimdichie. You've got to make that transition, and whatever it is, you've got to be able to do that, find that spot that will allow you to go from this very abstract person, something I can completely identify with, I kid you not, my brothers, and yet become something else when you walk inside those white lines. That's what Robert Kimdichie has got to do. For me, it was tragedy. You've heard me talk about this so many times over the last 12 years. The tragedy of my father dying at home. That's what turned me into a football player. I kid you not. The mentality of being a football player, especially a fullback in 1981, believe me, it was my dad, the image of my dad dying back in my home on 45 Hodson Road in Orchard Park, New York, laying there in a hospital bed, going out onto a football field, getting better every day. Not because I wanted to get better, because it was the only way I could release all of the anger and the angst and the pain and the suffering that I had inside of me, knowing what my dad was going through. Many times it is something drastic. It is something drastic for a young guy. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to say this. Bruce Arians recognized DJ Humphreys. DJ, you could be a good player in this league. You could be a really good, solid left tackle in this league and maybe even better. If you just realized how much better you could be, and all of a sudden we called him knee-deep. DJ Humphreys had a child, and you know what he told all of us? He said, you know what, I didn't want my child Googling my name and seeing knee-deep next to his dad's name. Let me tell you right now, yes, that changes you. Tyrann Mathieu went out there and played the game of football and continues to play the game of football for reasons you have no idea. You're out there just playing a game. He's out there trying to prove something about his own worth. Who do you think's going to win? I'm telling you right now, the better man is going to win. Somebody who's playing for something much bigger than just a game or just a way to make a living. Robert Kimdichie needs to understand that. He needs to understand that you can walk in between those white lines and totally become a different person. You can walk in there and forget about the abstract and the artist's perspective. Go out there and, you know what, become an entertainer, not an artist. Become an entertainer. Give people what they want. an artist gives people something they didn't know they wanted.
Text draft to 620-620, and you could have your name called at 715, 1215, or 415, just like Al Gordon did. However, Al Gordon was nowhere to be found when we called out his name. So Bosco Lovato called in and stole Al Gordon's spot.
No way.
Nice
Bosco
job.
Bosco Lovato.
Nice
Are you
job.
Kidding me?
I did not make
Mr.
that up.
Mr. Roboto.
Nice job, Bosco, for stealing the spot. If you want a chance to go to New York to see history, make sure you're next. Make sure you're listening at 12:15. It's your next chance to win. 4:15 with Burns and Gambo as well. Just text the word draft to 620-620. Let's take a look around the NFL. Here's something that's interesting. Andrew Luck is admitting there's a mental block in throwing a full-size football. Andrew, go.
I am thrilled with how this offseason's gone for me. I'm really, really excited. I know you guys don't see me every day. We don't talk that much. Big picture, my goal is to be able to throw as much as I need to on a game week. A Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at practice, and then a Sunday, let it loose, no count, nothing. You know, you got to go and let it go. So that's what I'm preparing for. That's why right now I throw Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays and Fridays to mimic a three-day sort of practice week, and then a Friday as a Sunday as a game week.
He guarantees he'll be ready week one, but he's on a very limited throwing program that he says will prepare him to let it loose on Sundays. It doesn't sound great.
It's June.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas, it is June. Did he play last year, by the way?
He did not.
No, he did not. And it's June. The only thing, the more I hear from Andrew Luck, ladies and gentlemen, the more I hear him talk, the only thing I can think of is, what about when he gets hit?
Mm-hmm.
What is, honestly, just how bad was this? And is he going to be able to take any type of punishment whatsoever? The questions are many when it comes to Andrew Luck, and unfortunately, it just doesn't sound good to me.
The other two stories to know, Todd Bowles says Sam Darnold has been outstanding at learning the playbook. So that's obviously how you're going to judge a quarterback at this stage in their development. And the Ravens are experimenting with a lot of packages in which Flacco and Lamar Jackson are both on the field at the same time.
At the same time. Interesting, that is right there. You know,
how do you feel about that, Joe?
I don't think that actually is going to work, having them both on the field at the same time, unless you've got Lamar Jackson actually being a running back, maybe a wide receiver, something like that. I understand. But to me, I think it's going to be two different packages. Could you possibly see that? A Lamar Jackson package where you go out and you run kind of like the 2 minute with Kurt Warner, except now you've got Jackson running the ball an awful lot? Or is it going to be more of a traditional offense with Joe Flacco? I could see him doing both.
Coming up next, another offensive explosion. 51 runs in 5 games. And of course, you could imagine they won all 5. Why are they hot again? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cards Mandatory Minicamp. Doug and Wolf at Cardinals HQ for Mandatory Minicamp. Presented by Courtesy Chevrolet, your exclusive home of the Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
What do you feel, Ronald?
Deech! That was good, ladies and gentlemen, talking to Robert Kim Deechy, of course. Hopefully he's going to get the and the goodness of the It's my breakout player of training camp, Robert Kim Deechy, year 3. Let's hope that happens. Hope that happens, ladies and gentlemen. But there's one thing, if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, that you could hope happens in 2018. Hope that it's Robert Kim Deechy playing up to his ability level. If that happens for the Arizona Cardinals defense, especially this defense with Steve Wilks and Al Holcomb, and the 4-3 that the Carolina Panthers loved to run and do run. If that happens, Their defense is going to go nuts.
I have a question. When we say, you know, 3 minutes ago, we're going to talk Diamondbacks, and then Bear plays this, who's folded?
It's Bear.
Okay.
No doubt. He knows what's coming.
Okay. Okay. As long as Bear takes the blame, then I'm fine with that. The Diamondbacks a winner, 13-8. I know you care. The magic number dropped to 94. Dodgers did win, but Giants and Rockies both lost, so the Diamondbacks continue to spread their lead against those two clubs. Now the Dodgers are in second place, and amazingly enough, the Mets, other than one win against the Yankees, have only won one game in their last 10. They've got a day game today. Then they've got to fly across the country, mostly across the country, Atlanta to Phoenix, to be able to take on the Diamondbacks for four games. Today, this afternoon, it's a day game. It's part of our half-day club. If you text half to 620-620 to receive tickets for $9.87 to be able to go see Diamondbacks Pirates. So D-backs are going for the sweep now, and then they're facing off against a bad Mets team that's in a bad place right now for four games at home. Greinke's going today, and Zach Greinke right now has lost one game out of his last 25 home games. Yesterday's a home game. Then on top of it, you have yesterday's first inning, Torey Lovello.
Torey.
Here's Torey Lovello.
The game is a full of swings, you know, and you're trying to stop momentum. The moments that are going to build momentum, and we got a big double play ball in the top of the first inning with the bases loaded, and I'm sure that was pretty demoralizing. We've been on that end several times, and you know that when you have some opportunities to score some runs and you don't, it can get frustrating. So I think we added that and scored six runs, and there were a couple miscues on their behalf defensively that we took advantage of. So I think it was a great first inning. And you feel like after that type of first inning, the game's going to be that type of game. But you got to give the Pirates credit. They battled. They dropped a six spot right back on us and got right back into the game. So that's why I was proud of our guys. Our pitchers, the relief pitchers, came in and did a good job and got the game under control.
I think, first of all, he's right to give the Pirates some credit there. But I tell you, I don't think you can underestimate that first inning enough from both ends. Don't forget, the number one thing is Monday night. You have that electrically charged game Monday night. So both teams, it doesn't matter that it's D-backs Pirates in June. There's a little more charge in these guys going into Tuesday's game.
No doubt.
And then you've got bases loaded, one out, and the Diamondbacks get a double play, come right into the inning, back-to-back base hits to start it, and this is kind of, you're going to think this is a little bit of a joke. John Jay has been terrible since he became a Diamondback, unfortunately. It's sad. It was a great trade, but he's in a little slump. You could tell he's a human being trying to prove he belongs. He's excited to be in this race.
Sure.
He was trying too hard. He gets his first hit. That got everybody in the dugout kind of cheering for him. Hey, it's about time. And they were having fun with it. They were a little more relaxed. Goldie, boom, hits.
Yes.
And then you have a brutal error by the Pirates. Suddenly, now you've stopped their run. The guy you've had fun with finally gets a hit, and they screw up and give you runs. That was the beginning of the first inning that ended up having nine people bat for the
yes.
Diamondbacks.
John Jay, he went 3-for-5 last night. He's hitting 178. I mean, that just tells you how bad it was, to your point, Douglas, right there. But listen, you know what? Honestly, this is the fifth series in a row that the Diamondbacks have won. And again, their winning ways are back.
Let me just check you there for a
yes.
second. It feels like their fifth in a row.
Yes.
Because remember, they lost the Giants series because of the comeback against Boxberger.
You know what? I'm wrong on that. You're right, Douglas. Okay, bad by me right here. But again, their winning ways are back. Let's
yes,
put it that
true.
Way, right? Their winning ways are back. And to me, it's time for this team to actually just build on this, right? And one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things I'm so jacked up about is just the fact that it's easy to go out there and compete when you know that your opponent is, you know, this is somebody to be taken seriously. It really is. And I know the Pirates, again, it's not like the Pirates have stunk the entire season. They have not. In the middle of May, there were nine games above 500. And then from May 17th on, they're 6-18. So they're basically having the May that the Arizona Diamondbacks had. They're, since May 17th, there are 6-18 right now, right? This is a team that is struggling. But to me, it's even more impressive. As a former professional athlete, I can tell you right now, it's easy to get up for the good guy, the guy that you respect, for the guy that you know is going to give you everything he's got. It's not so easy to get up when you know you're playing a team that is struggling, your little brother, so to speak. And that's why the Diamondbacks going out and taking care of business, and not only game one, but game two as well, winning these games. And now can they actually put on the killer instinct hat and take care of business for a third day in a row? That's even more impressive to me than going out and being up and playing well against better competition.
I would love for this Pirates lesson to last. Because I don't fault the Pirates. I like making fun of them, but I don't fault them for plunking Chris Owings. They did it exactly the way old school is meant to be. I completely support the Pirates plunking Chris Owings in the way that they did it. But it is very, very clear the Diamondbacks came into this easy, quote-unquote, homestand. Unfocused.
Yes.
After a huge sweep in Colorado, Rockies were only a half game out at the start of that series, and Diamondbacks swept them. They had to be feeling good, and they came into Game One unfocused. And once that plunking happened, you look at—I mean, remember it was the seventh inning, the eighth inning, and now the first inning.
Yes.
The amount of runs they scored in a three-inning span from Monday night to the beginning of Tuesday night is crazy. What they did. So now, what did you learn from it? Diamondbacks, what did you learn from that? Are you ready to not have the ebbs and flows and the weaknesses of focus? Because you could see how stark that difference was. And this division, it's going to be too close to take a night off of anybody. So when you're lining up today against the Pirates, when you're playing the Mets this weekend, don't sit there and think we're playing the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing the Dodgers.
Yes.
You're playing the Rockies. You're playing the Giants. The division is too close to even remotely think. You had enough time to take off during May.
Yeah.
That was your takeoff time. Now you've got to bring it.
Yeah, forget about who you're playing. Just go out and be yourself. Try to be the best player you can possibly be. That right there, that's the winning formula. You want to be the best at what you could possibly do, my young crunk brothers? Worry about you and what you're doing and how you can be the best you could possibly be every day. And guess what? It won't matter who you're playing or who you're up against from that point forward. It won't.
Mike Hazen, general manager, and Paul Goldschmidt, still to come here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Mike Hazen, GM, will join us at 8:45. Goldie will join us at 9:15. Coming up next, they have the number one pick in the NBA draft. Is there any chance they've got another top 10 pick coming? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals Mandatory Minicamp with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Courtesy Chevrolet, your exclusive home of the Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Who will be the chosen son? We're talking number one pick on the home of Phoenix Suns basketball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
There's a big letdown when we cannot see the bare lips. There we go. I didn't think we'd actually get the singing from Bear.
Yeah.
Much more than lip sync. Actual karaoke with Bear.
No, there's nothing to see here. Just move it along. They're both mailing it in this morning, so nothing to see here.
Who is the number one pick? We all assume it's DeAndre Ayton. I read an article at ArizonaSports.com that kind of grabbed me, I got to tell you. Yes, everything is speculation, but I will be the first one to say, and I think a lot of you heard me say it back in November, I'm selling the farm for Ayton.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it takes, go get DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
And that was under the assumption that the influence that's placed on the NBA draft lottery would not go the Suns' way. Now that the Suns are the number one pick in the draft, we don't have to sell the farm for Ayton. He's there. I'm officially declaring, let's sell the farm for Bamba,
too. Can we just sit there for a minute? Wait a minute. What did you just say?
I want to sell the farm for Bamba, too. Not obviously the number one pick. That's not part of the farm.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay? Not over
DeAndre. That's in the mansion.
Okay.
No. Ayton is my number one. Booker's still untouchable. Okay. A lot of people will disagree with me, but I still say Josh Jackson is untouchable.
Okay.
I think he's going to be a very special player. I like Josh Jackson, so I like those two. I'm not touching either of those two.
You can be bullish on Josh Jackson, but let's not use untouchable.
I tell you, for now, maybe later, but when I'm talking about Bamba, I'm looking at this saying, okay, can I have Booker at the 2, Jackson at the 3, Ayton at the 4, Bamba at the 5? I want that. I could put Ron Wolfley at the 1 if I've got those 4, and I have 2 picks in this first round, 2 picks in this second round. I have got 2 picks coming up later. I got my pick next year. I got Miami's pick in the year after that. I've got so many picks sitting here. And the article is interesting at ArizonaSports.com that's talking about how easy it might be to trade up with Cleveland, who's sitting at number 8. And I read that article and I said, okay, I agree with you. I totally agree. Getting to number 8 is pretty easy, I think. The question is there somebody I'm really willing to trade for at number 8? And I'm not going to say there's a drop-off, but that's getting close to the second-tier guys. This draft is really deep,
mm-hmm.
but I think 8th isn't enough. And I know it's going to be hard to get into like the top 5 or
is
6.
Is Trae Young there at 8?
He might be.
I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, does that get your attention?
I admit, though,
right
I like
definitely
Sexton
gets
better
my
than
attention.
Him.
Do you really?
I like Colin Sexton better than Trae Young,
okay.
I admit it.
Okay.
No one has come out and told me, why was Trae Young great, and then why did he pull a Goldie for May? What happened to Trae Young February on?
Well,
you know, tunneling when he shot? I don't know.
We were talking to Dave Pasch about this. ESPN happened to Trae Young. I mean, all of a sudden, he was the next Steph Curry. They put so much on the kid so soon, and the expectations just rocketed through the stratosphere. It was just unfair to the young man. I think that's what happened to him.
You know, there's another scenario here that Dan Bickley actually had also at ArizonaSports.com.
Look at
right?
you.
Dan Bickley wrote this column about the possibility of going after Lonzo Ball. Right, Lonzo Ball from the Lakers right there, knowing that there's a real possibility LeBron James might be headed to L.A. to play for the Lakers, right? And now all of a sudden, you don't need Lonzo Ball so much because you got LeBron James, a guy who wants the ball in his hand so much of the time, and plus you'd also be able to eject LaVar Ball.
Well, remember last month we brought you the story, LaVar Ball went personal flamethrower on the entire Lakers training staff.
That's right.
And it was just the latest in the series of attacks on the Lakers organization. And last month we were talking about how Magic Johnson, there were some reports from inside out that he's looking to move Lonzo Ball just because he's sick of the old man, and it's to no one's surprise. So, yes, the whole Lonzo Ball being available has been out there for over a month.
Exactly right, Paulie. So if you do have Lonzo Ball out there and you wanted to go after him, would you give up Marquise Chris and the number 16 pick?
Yes.
And go after Lonzo Ball?
Yes,
absolutely.
Let me tell
you, that to me, what Dan proposes to me, that is really, really interesting.
Let me stop you both. No.
Lonzo Ball, the point guard, is exactly what this team needs. Lonzo Ball, who's a superior passer, still an elite passer. The shot, it's not there.
No,
the score, it's not there. But if he's going to be the guy who gets everyone in, the ball.
I hear the LeVar. I do not even hear Lonzo Ball. I hear LeVar.
I'm
so the answer is no.
No, you know what? I, ladies and gentlemen, stop and think about this. My brothers.
I did. And I heard LeVar.
Devin Booker, Lonzo Ball, Josh Jackson, and DeAndre Ayton.
Doug, for the 16th pick in Marquise Chris, absolutely you're going after Lonzo Ball.
Here's the problem. You guys are talking intelligently about Lamar. You're not talking intelligently, about Lonzo. You're not talking intelligently about Dad.
No.
Dad can wreck anybody. We do not want a ball here. No.
You just don't give him the platform. From the very beginning, he gets no platform. He gets no coverage.
Said.
He gets no voice.
The Lakers
but
said
he
the
lives
same
in L.A. and he navigates around the Lakers because he gets on these L.A. talk shows and Fox Sports in particular. Here, you just snuff him out. He's a non-factor.
And not only that, it's not like LaVar Ball has impacted the Los Angeles Lakers. He hasn't impacted them in the least. Is he an annoyance? Absolutely.
Yep.
But as far as actually impacting wins and losses, he hasn't even touched that, nor will he. Because of that, I'd be for that.
No.
I would
no.
be for yeah. that deal right there, Dan Bickley.
Realistically, no. though, I do like the concept, the strategy of targeting the Cavaliers at number 8. Because if LeBron is gone, and he's gone, and Dan Gilbert now is going to be the decision maker all over again,
yeah.
you go after the owner, and you target number 8, and what would he need to get out of that number 8 spot? And that's where the Suns, they get all those assets they have together, which they can't use anyway. They don't need a bunch more young guys. They get a bunch of those assets together.
They've already traded some picks in the future too, Paul. It's right up your alley. You know, they need picks.
Yep. If you're rebuilding, Dan Gilbert, here, stock your cupboard with all these picks over the next 2 or 3 years. Guess what? We'll make you a deal you can't refuse.
It's interesting. You know, I told you the shelf, and so I just did the math and I wrote some guys' names down. You have to tell me, and I don't know the answer to this. Who is Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about him because he played a game and a half or so at Missouri. I respect him greatly because he could have just sat out. Remember Miles Jack at UCLA, the linebacker?
Yes.
Gets hurt and then immediately just says, you know what? I'm done with school. I'm going to go pro.
Yeah.
Because I can't come back to UCLA now until next year. I don't plan on it. I'm done. Michael Porter Jr. didn't do that. He got hurt game one of Missouri season and fought to come all the way back for the tournament when he could have just said, you know what? I'm going to worry about the draft now. So I respect him, but I don't know his game well enough. But if his game is solid enough, then you have a guy like a Wendell Carter available for you at number 8, maybe Trey Young, definitely Colin Sexton, Bridges, the junior out of Villanova would be available for you. I don't really think you need him because he's more of a small forward, but there's talent right there still at number 8.
Yeah.
It would work
out. That's intriguing. There's no doubt. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have Lonzo Ball?
No, I don't want LeVar.
And Marquise Chris for the number 16 pick as well.
No, LeVar, it's a good deal. Unfortunately, LeVar is coming with him. Will Lonzo declare a divorce? If he declares a divorce from his parents,
man,
yes to the trade.
I would like to see that.
Guys are both nuts.
Guess what? You might end up on national TV because of the ball factor. mandatory ball put you on national TV, which the Suns have struggled to get on.
Pash wants it because he gets more home
right.
games.
Yeah.
Man,
maybe you welcome the exposure. I mean, good or bad publicity, at least you get some exposure.
Coming
I
up
promise
next.
You, if in fact LeVar Ball is in the basin, Doug Lease will be on Deadspin.
That's true. And he will be on our show, and we'll be in an argument in studio, and I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, Doug rips him. He'll be in studio the first week.
Coming up next, Mike Hazen. What is tunneling? What's going on? Why is everything good now for the Diamondbacks? That's next on 98.7 FM with our front office focus. The general manager will join us on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf Mornings on the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Diamondbacks front office focus. Presented by Cox Business. Switch to Cox Business and experience a different kind of communications company. Visit coxbusiness.com today.
Every Wednesday, inside the Diamondbacks front office at 8:45, and a member of the D-backs front office joins us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. It's Mike Hazen, general manager. Mike, do you lead Major League Baseball on Tuesday victories now? We're not completely sure, but every Tuesday we have a win, and then we have you on the very next morning. So, what are the analytics behind Tuesdays?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good question, but I think we probably do. Lead Tuesdays. I know Wednesday's a little bit more of a sore spot.
Right.
But Derek made us put Greinke on Wednesday from this point forward. So
you know what?
Well done,
Mike. What I want to hear is, can you actually say Dovidos Navarauskas? Can you say that guy?
No, I can't. Guy's got a good arm.
Yeah, he does have a good arm, though, doesn't he? 99.
Yeah,
he's tripping it out.
We try to acquire guys with simpler names like John Jay.
Right.
Well, John Jay, very well done. And the historic reference is cool, too. But real talent evaluators go by jersey number, so it's okay. We're talking to Mike Hayes, a general manager, Arizona Diamondbacks. So much has been talked about it, but it hasn't really been explained to the fan. If you don't mind, what is tunneling?
Well, I think, you know, as you look at a pitcher and where the ball comes out of, I think is probably you know, the simplest explanation to it. So, you know, we talk a lot about arm slot. So when we're referring to that, we're talking about sort of where the ball comes out of. And so when you're a hitter and you're watching the pitcher, you're looking where to pick the ball up, and pitchers will release it in different spots, and how they get to that spot where their arm circle is, you know, how they take the ball out of their glove, where the ball travels behind the pitcher. You know, we talk about sort of deception and where that some pitchers show the ball a little earlier, some show the ball a little later. It's why I think you can see guys that throw 92, 93, like Bracho, and he gets a lot of swings and misses on his heater. He probably hides the ball a little better. And so that's sort of the whole concept of deception as it gets into a pitcher. I think from a tunneling standpoint, it's how they, where they put the ball as it's traveling to the plate, how late the hitter has to make a decision in terms of swinging at the ball. You know, as we know, the hitter has very, very little time to react to a pitch. When the pitcher can make the ball come out of the same spot, both his fastball or his changeup or his slider or whatever that may be, it gives the hitter even less decision-making time. And so I think the better the pitcher can do that, the better chance they have at having deception, of getting late swings, of seeing more of the swing and miss stuff. It's not just based on pure velocity. That's why velocity to me is a little bit, it's great to have. Velocity gives you some wiggle room if you do make mistakes, but I think velocity is a little bit overblown in some cases, because I think deception probably plays a little more. So that's a long-winded answer, but it's about how little reaction time you give the hitter.
So, Mike, would you say that tunneling is a new approach? Is it a new approach for hitters relatively new in Major League Baseball?
No. I think there's an awareness of how pitchers are trying to attack hitters. I think it's all in that same vein. We've been doing this for as long as I've been in baseball, for 20 years, in terms of advanced scouting the pitcher and what he's going to try to do to attack you. I don't think it's any different. I think we've put some nice tiny little bows on it in some ways, somehow, but I think it's all the same stuff. I mean, we're trying to figure out exactly on both sides of the ball how we're being attacked, and we're trying to counteract that. And I think you can see teams, you know, make adjustments. I think as we go through the season and you see the ebbs and flows of the season, which we've certainly had, I think there's probably some adjustments that are being made to us and what we're doing, and we're trying to make those adjustments back.
Mike Hazen, General Manager, Arizona Diamondbacks, joining Doug and Wolf. So therefore, it's so odd that you've had a May of systematically guys struggling at the plate and a June where guys can't be stopped. Is it the belief that you had to go through May for tunneling to really be, you kind of get the bugs out for the player standpoint, not for you, and then buy in and now they've got it and things are going well? Or did you have some guys kind of abandon it and say, you know what, this just isn't working for me, and they went back to their old selves? How has the line in the sand been drawn? Because it is stark between May and June.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I think that all of that is, however you want to call it, we were great at the beginning of the season, and then we stunk. And I just think it's more of an excuse than anything else. We didn't make any changes to anything. We didn't do things a lot differently. We just stopped getting hits. Whether that was through guys just collectively going into a slump together, whether that was bad luck in some cases, you know, you don't lose a lot of 1-0 games unless you can be a little bit unlucky too. But we certainly didn't deserve to win those games. It's just that's the way the game goes. I got to tell you, I don't think that there's anything more to it than collectively we just weren't hitting the ball together. It's hard when you're not putting a lot of base runners on base because you're not putting pressure on the pitcher. So if you're going through 1-0 games and putting 5 base runners on, a pitcher's not having a lot of stressful innings. I think what you've seen over the last week is we've created a lot of stressful innings. We've put a lot of base runners on, and not so much just hitting. We've gotten on base quite a few. We've gotten hit by a lot of pitches. We've walked a lot. That has created a lot of opportunities for hitters to come up when the pitcher is under a lot of stress. And I think when you see that, you saw the game last night. I mean, it looked like that game was never going to end because both sides were putting such stress on the pitcher. I just think that's we're now back in the other direction. I don't think there's anything more to it.
You know, obviously in May, Paul Goldschmidt struggled just mightily. I think he hit under 150, as a matter of fact. And in June, we see this stark difference right here. What is he doing differently? Because he looks like a completely different hitter at the dish right now, Mike.
I missed the first part of that question. Who was that?
That was Paul Goldschmidt.
I'm sorry. I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago when I was on. Look, hitters, really good hitters, look around the league, go through sometimes prolonged stretches. It can be slight mechanics. It can be approach. It can be confidence. It can be a million different things. I don't know what it was, you know, but I can say this. Going through that for as long as he did and not seeing one excuse made, not one reason for, you know, this is why it's happening other than trying to investigate and work to get out of it, I think it just shows the true leadership and strength of that guy. Whatever it was, if it was a slight mechanical adjustment, if his hands are in a different spot, if his elbow's in a different spot, if his legs are in a different spot, I know there were a lot of theories thrown around for all that stuff. It's great to have him back because you see when he's raking, this offense really moves.
We're talking to Mike Hayes and general manager, Arizona Diamondbacks. What's impressed you about June? Yeah. Oh, okay. We all of a sudden went silent. We didn't hear you anymore, Mike.
You guys went silent on me again.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. What has impressed you about June?
I think the response to May, honestly. That was one of the rougher stretches that I've ever been a part of, and any team that I've ever been a part of. And watching Torrey, watching the coaching staff, watching the players, trying to figure it out, not having answers all the time. I think we've done plenty of interviews. I've been on here. Like we don't always have the answer for why these things happen. And it's not acceptable enough just to say it's baseball. I get it. Like there are definitely reasons for things and we search for them. I think the response to May is what's been impressive, that there's, look, we have a long way to go. And we're not who we are today either. We still have a long way to go from today. But I think watching these guys sort of pull together, nobody pointing fingers. I think there were some clear reasons for why we weren't winning games, but nobody pointing fingers. I think that's the sign of a good team.
Mike, could you bring us up to speed quickly on Robbie Ray, Shelby Miller, where they're at in the rehabs?
Yep. Robbie is throwing tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get him out to around 50. I think it's probably going to be at least a couple of starts for him to build up his pitch count, but he's been throwing almost the entire time he's been down. So his arm, legs, everything should be in pretty good shape. Shelby will be going out this weekend again. We'll wait and see after that one how he did. He only got up to 60-plus pitches last time out. We want to see that pitch count built up to where he has a cushion for when he comes out here. But we can't wait to have those two guys back.
Mike, good talk. Thanks for your time.
Mike.
And hopefully see you today at the game.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay, there's Mike Hayes and general manager, Arizona Diamondbacks, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to CoulterNissan.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, or CoulterTempe.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, today, day two of the official start of quarterback competition. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to D-backs Front Office Focus. Presented by Cox Business. Switch to Cox Business and experience a different kind of communications company. Visit CoxBusiness.com today.